Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning,
Roto Experts.
To the end zone! It's caught! Touchdown! Oh my heavens!
The mark of fantasy excellence.
You have to be careful about who you think is stepping forward on the depth chart.
It's caught for a touchdown!
We're here to help you win your leagues and win that cash.
You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts in the Morning.
This is your time. Now go out there and take it.
Rise and shine, fantasy players. It is a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It is Tuesday, September 4th. Let's cock-a-doodle do it. This is Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. I'm your host, Dane Martinez. They call me Speed the Spitting Statistician. And as always, I am overjoyed to be joined by my man, the king, El Rey de Fantasia, Scott Angle. Scotty, I almost said it was Monday. I forgot we had the Labor Day holiday. I'm sure you had a good one. And listen, Scott, we are a mere 48 to 72 hours away from football. That matters. I know you got to be excited about that. How you feeling, Scotty?
Feeling good. You know, started my birthday today. I already got two gift cards and looking forward to more. And right at this time of year when my birthday happens, it's only like a day or two to football. So that's like an extra present.
It absolutely is. It is the birthday for the King, Scott Angle. Scotty, happy birthday. What do you get the guy who has absolutely everything? Gift cards, huh, Scotty? That's what you want? Maybe you want Thomas reporting? How about that? Would you take Earl Thomas?
Yeah, I would take that too, and you know maybe a cabin on the Kiss Cruise.
Yeah, there you go. These things all sound good. Well, listen, Scotty, a lot of stuff went down since we last spoke on Friday. We talked about this, how this is like a GM's kind of spot where they have a chance to really shape the bottom of that roster, starting with the Week 4 preseason games, guys fighting for jobs. There were a lot of notable cuts. We'll go through some of those, right? Some people definitely got paid over the weekend because teams had to get down to their 53, right? So there were some trades. Finally, some people come into the building. Some people still notably not at the practice facility just yet, but I want to start, Scotty, with the sad news. Sad news as we go to San Francisco. On the last play of the practice, Jerick McKinnon goes down in a non-contact injury. Anytime someone goes down with a non-contact injury, you fear the worst. And then the 49ers confirmed that he tore his ACL, and McKinnon's 2018 season is done before it even got started. Now what we do is we look to Alfred Morris, we look to Matt Breida, and we've talked about San Francisco needing time to gel. Scott, maybe it's a good thing that Alf Morris is there because he's so familiar with the Shanahan system from their time in Washington. What do you think about this McKinnon injury, and who's the next man up?
I think some people thought it was Matt Breida, but Matt Breida only weighs 190 pounds. He's more of a pass-catching back. He's not built for that big workload. Alfred Morris, like you said, familiar with the system. I think he's going to be the main ball carrier there. And you have two very interesting stories. For me, it's like in my dynasty league, I was desperate for a running back too. And so I picked up about eight, you know, various running backs that could get in the starting lineup. Anybody, you know, like the bottom of the barrel, Jonathan Williams, Christian Michael, Robert Turbin. On Thursday morning, I picked up Alfred Morris for a buck 2 days before the injury. So now I have a starting running back. Then I had an auction started at 4:30 on Saturday. The news didn't break until 4:44. And my first nomination, I threw out Jerick McKinnon because I didn't want him, and he went for $13.
Right. Wow, and that's the thing, right? We've talked about this in auctions, throwing out sometimes people you don't want to drain the finances of the other owners. That had to happen in a bunch of places in auctions. Or, you know, if drafts got started on Saturday at like 4 o'clock, McKinnon was probably gone already right as those drafts were going on. So tough luck there. We think it's Alfred Morris as the lead dog. Breida will stay probably, we believe, right, Scotty, in this change of pack, change of pace, pass-catching role for the San Francisco 49ers, so adjust your rosters accordingly. But, Scotty, honestly, I want to talk next about the Oakland Raiders. I don't really know what John Gruden is doing, but check out this, okay? They finally go ahead and move Khalil Mack to the Chicago Bears. They also give up a second-round draft pick in the deal. Then they release Martavis Bryant, right? They spent a third-round draft pick for him, release him before he ever plays a snap for real for the Oakland Raiders, because he's going in another indefinite suspension, right? And then they trade for A.J. McCarron to be the backup to Carr over there in Oakland. A lot of movement there by the Oakland Raiders. Let's start with Khalil Mack. What do you think about this trade? The Bears get a pass rusher, and I got to tell you, Scott, this Raiders roster looks very ordinary on the defensive side.
Yeah, the Raiders are now going to be a defense to target. You know, they were a bad defense, yep. One good player last year. So in week one, you know, maybe I'm running a DFS stack with Jared Goff and Cooper Kupp there. You know, love having Jared Goff in week one. I think he's going to be a big daily play. Yep, as for A.J. McCarron, there's nothing to see there. There's no quarterback contract.
No, absolutely. He's absolutely a backup. Let me ask you this other side of things. The Chicago Bears defense only gave up 20 points a game last year. That was in the top 10. Now they get one of the best pass rushers in the league coming off the edge. What does this mean for the Chicago side of things, especially as per their defense? I know we don't talk team defenses too much, Scotty, but it's got to help the Bears defense, right?
Yeah, it does. I actually moved them into the top eight after they made this trade because, you know, they were top seven in sacks last year. It just they weren't generating a lot of turnovers. Now with even more additional pressure on the passer, you figure they got to get a lot more turnovers. You know, now they're looking like an even more startable fantasy defense.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there's the positive impact there for the Bears defense as they deal with Aaron Rodgers starting this Sunday night. But listen, one of the things you said I think is interesting, Scott. You talked about the Raiders now being a defense to try to attack, right? Whether it be for DFS or really liking them, kind of as the opponent for your season-long team. You know something, Scott, and I mentioned this on Twitter to our guy, our former friend and one of our best friends forever, Mike Florio, and I were going back and forth about this. You know, the Raiders are now a defense to attack. We have said, Scott, on this air for the last few weeks that we believe the Kansas City Chiefs are also a defense to attack. So my question now is really as it relates to the skill position players of the Broncos and the Chargers. You now are getting these two defenses, the Chiefs and the Raiders, who we think are primed for points. You're getting them four times a year. Is there any reason to maybe even slightly bump up the other skill players in the AFC West, knowing they're going to see the Chiefs and the Raiders four times in the season?
I don't think so because, you know, we've seen it in the past, divisional games, even when both defenses are not good on paper, they're so familiar with each other that you could look at that game and say, oh, it's going to be a shootout, and it ends up being lower scoring because it's, you know, the divisional game and the familiarity. Plus the fact that, you know, I'm down on the Broncos offense just because I don't believe in Case Keenum. You know, the Vikings had the guy take him all the way to the NFC Championship game, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him. I think Case Keenum is going to turn into a pumpkin, so I'm not bumping anybody up. All the Chargers are ranked where they should be as well.
Interestingly enough, I personally do like Emmanuel Sanders to have a bounce back year for Denver. It looks like he's been a favorite target of Case Keenum, but I hear you. Case Keenum played over his head last year, and it was never good enough for head coach Mike Zimmer to really fully commit to him, and that is part of the reason he is in Denver. You mentioned all the Chargers are adequately ranked and put in the right spot. You know, Scott, when all the kind of roster manipulations were happening on Saturday, I thought it was interesting that they decided to put, they being the Chargers, they decided to put Hunter Henry on the PUP list, not on the IR. That kind of opens the door potentially for a late season return. And then they augment the tight end position a little bit more. Scott, you say all the Chargers are ranked where they are. I want to get your thoughts on the newest and oldest Charger. It's kind of funny. You could be the newest and the oldest Charger at the same time. I'm talking obviously about Hall of Fame tight end Antonio Gates, who does in fact come back to camp, signs a one-year deal with the Los Angeles Chargers. A lot of people knew about this. A lot of people thought this was going to happen. A lot of people thought that he was just, you know, avoiding training camp because he already has the chemistry with Philip Rivers. He already knows the playbook, and he does in fact come in. I don't know that this necessarily rates. I do think maybe he's in the tight end two conversation along with a bunch of other guys we've talked about before, the Austin Seferian Jenkins, the Vance McDonald's of the world. What's your outlook on Gates coming back to a familiar setting, to a team that needs him, or, you know, thinks he could be helping them make a deep run this season?
Yeah, you nailed it. It's like he's not a top 20 tight end. He's outside the top 20. 3 touchdown receptions last year. I still think Mike Williams takes a step forward as, you know, the real red zone and goal line threat for this team. Gates will draw respect. He'll, you know, in the red zone, and I think that'll open things up for more like guys like Williams anyway. You got Melvin Gordon, you know, who's such a threat near the goal line. So I can't see Gates playing a major role to the point where he's going to be a big difference maker at this point of his career.
Does it pour any cold water on the buzz for Mike Williams? I know you and I were talking about Mike Williams of soaking up a lot of these red zone kind of targets with no Hunter Henry. We expected him to take a step forward. Is he still going to get these red zone targets now that Philip Rivers' security blanket and favorite target is on the field?
Yeah, I think so. Antonio Gates' numbers have, you know, certainly declined over the last few years. He only caught 3 touchdown passes last year, so I can't see him being a primary red zone threat.
Okay, but remember also, Gates only had 3 touchdowns last year, but that was when Hunter Henry was still there. Now Hunter Henry is not. You really think that Williams – you think Williams will have more touchdown catches than Gates? Who will catch more touchdowns, Gates this year?
What I'm seeing is that Williams will move into the Hunter Henry role and make Antonio Gates stay in that secondary touchdown-catching role.
Interesting. So you still think just Williams replaces Henry, in essence, and still renders Antonio Gates as something no more than, say, tight end 20 or something in a deep kind of league where you need him for buys or anything like that, right?
Right.
All right, fair enough. In other tight end news, we thought about this. We thought this was going to happen, but it is, in fact, sure. Evan Engram, the New York Giants tight end, was back at practice, which means he's gone through the concussion protocol. He is expected to be fine week 1 for the Giants as they take on the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, listen, Scotty, I want to ask you about this. A lot of people, I have said before that I expect Evan Engram to actually take a little bit of a dip in terms of share of opportunity because he bucked that trend of rookie tight ends performing last year. But my point is that he did that without Odell Beckham when Sterling Shepard was out a lot. Now, of course, Odell Beckham is there. You know Saquon Barkley is going to get his. So my question for you is this, Scott. Who do you think is more likely to sacrifice targets? Is it Evan Engram or is it Sterling Shepard? Because you know Odell and you know Saquon are going to be entrenched parts of this offense. Who kind of takes a step back as the third or fourth fiddle, shall we say? Do you think there's more of a sacrifice for Sterling Shepard or more of a sacrifice from Evan Engram in this Giants offense?
I think from a fantasy perspective, maybe Shepard, because I think Engram, he's a unique kind of target, you know, that big, strong red zone target. You know, he has a defined role in that passing game, and I still think, you know, when you look at tight end production overall, I still think the numbers he's going to put up are pretty darn good, even if they're not quite as good as they were last year, because you just don't look for, you know, high ranking. So, like, if you get 65 catches and 900 yards and 6 touchdowns out of him, that'll be a fine year.
All right, you have him as tight end number 6 in PPR scoring, Scott. That's what I'm seeing right here, behind Kyle Rudolph and right ahead of Greg Olsen. You're comfortable with that? You're not bumping that anytime soon? You see him right there as tight end 6? That's about right for you still?
No, it's, you know, Beckham, Barkley, and Shepard have all been factors since I started doing the rankings. Nothing has changed.
All right, fair enough. The concussion didn't bother you, anything like that?
No, because he came back. He's ready. I didn't see any reports that he was going to miss extensive time. I think if he suffers another concussion, then I'm starting to get concerned. He did have a mild one last year, but, you know, nothing enough to move the needle to bump him up or down yet.
All right, fair enough. Listen, we talked about the Khalil Mack trade, right? And he got paid 6 years, $141 million, $90 million guaranteed. He becomes the highest defensive player, you know, the highest paid defensive player of all time, taking that distinction, Scotty, from a guy who had it for all of 24 hours. The Rams and Aaron Donald finally did agree to their deal. Aaron Donald gets 6 years, $135 million. $87 million guaranteed. It was the biggest deal ever for a defensive player, like I said, for about a day and a half. And now, I mean, honestly, Scott, they have extended Aaron Donald. They brought in Ndamukong Suh on a $14 million deal. They acquire Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. They sign San Shields. They acquire Brandon Cooks and sign him to a five-year, $80 million deal. They extend Todd Gurley. They extend their offensive lineman, Havenstein, to a four-year, $32 million deal. I think the Rams are all in this year. Scotty, what does this mean for you for the Rams defense? Are they still a top five defense for you now with the inclusion of Aaron Donald? Do you agree with me they're all in this year?
Yeah, there's nothing to change. I had them top three even when Donald was sitting out. You know, there's still a terrific defensive line, great secondary. The linebacking crew isn't good as the rest of the defense, but, you know, playing in the division they're playing in, and just, you know, that tremendous defensive line, you know, this is an elite fantasy unit, but they're not going to end up on any of my teams because people have to draft them in, like, the eighth, ninth round, and I don't want to do that.
Yeah, I was seeing that as well. Even I was in my big home league, Dynasty. Someone kept the Rams defense going into this year. I was like, that's a little bit crazy. I understand, listen, liking them a lot, but you still got to remember the overall impact of a fantasy defense. Scott, so we talked Khalil Mack came in. We talked Aaron Donald came in. There are two guys that are still not in, and we're going to talk about both of them when we come back on the other side of the break. What I do got to let people know, though, is they can go on over to BetDSI because they are celebrating 20 years as the industry's biggest and safest betting site. You can play virtually every sport at BetDSI, Scott, with hundreds of wagering options, including live in-game wagering, all major sporting events, and you can make your play at any time during the game. BetDSI runs sign-up and deposit promotions year-round. For a limited time, use the promo code FNT. So BetDSI, they're offering $2,500 bonus on your first deposit. Like I said, use the promo code FNTSY and try BetDSI.com. That is BetDSI.com with the promo code FNTSY. All right, Scotty, what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break here on Roto Experts in the Morning. We're going to let people call the show if they want. Remember, the number to call is 844-843-6879. You can always find us at Scotty RotoX, at Spittin' Speeds as well. We talked about some of the people who are in camp. There's two big-time names that are not just yet. We'll talk about the outlook for both of those and who their replacements might be. Roto Experts in the Morning, Dane and Scott, come on right back.
Like a great pass rusher, the Roto Experts will help you sack your fantasy football competition. When you register for their exclusive Edge fantasy package, you get a cheat sheet generator plus a player database with sortable projections and rankings from the best in the business. And you can join the fantasy conversation in the 24/7 Slack chat channel. Visit rotoexperts.com to register for the exclusive Edge fantasy package and enter the promo code FNTSY and you get a 10% discount. That's the rotoexperts.com exclusive Edge fantasy football package, promo code FNTSY.
Welcome back to Roto Experts in the Morning right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Dane Martinez and El Rey de Fantasia, the King Scott Angle. Don't forget, if you're still drafting, you can still get that Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. It'll help you win your leagues and win that cash. Don't forget to enter the promo code THEKING. It's going to evolve to the in-season package real soon. We're going to get a free one for one of our listeners. And maybe, Scott, you're even going to help set that person's lineup. We will unveil the champion of our team name contest in the next segment. I got to tell you, Scott, the competition was very stiff. There were four responses. If you remember, I believe it was Carry On My Wayward Son for Netflix and Chill, Jimmy G-Spot, and Turn Your Head and Goth. Right now, as it stands, the leader is at 27% of the vote. Last place is at 23% of the vote. This was a very close vote. A lot of our listeners liked all the options as we put the fun in functional sports content. Remember, the number to call here is 844-843-6879. Scotty, we talked about Khalil Mack. We talked about Aaron Donald. They came back to their teams. I teased at the before the break, there are still two guys that are not with their teams. Let's take them one by one. They are Earl Thomas and, of course, Le'Veon Bell. Let's start with Earl Thomas first. Listen, this game of chicken is now evolving into the regular season, Scott. As the resident expert here on the Seattle Seahawks, what happens here? You know, who blinks first here, Earl Thomas or the team? Do they still think about a trade to Dallas or someone else? Does Earl Thomas start, you know, biting the bullet and, you know, accepting the loss of game checks? Or do the Seahawks blink and come to the negotiation table and try to extend him there in Seattle? How's this going to play out, Scotty?
I don't think anybody knows how it's going to play out. You're not going to see. I don't think you'll see him Sunday. You know, against
sure,
the
at
Denver
this
Broncos.
Point.
Yeah, I don't know when you're going to see him. The Seahawks are not going to change their stance. Earl Thomas is selling his home. He's not going to change his stance. So this thing might, you know, might go back to like when Joey Galloway like held out for 8 games. You know, under the first year of Mike Holmgren. There's nothing to see. There's no new updates. And, you know, from a fantasy perspective, you know, the Seahawks like who they have and some of these unknown guys like Tedrick Thompson. They're trying to play the narrative of, well, nobody knew who Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman, and Cam Chancellor were in 2012. So we're trying to go down the same road with young unknown guys. But, you know, look, I said I don't like the Broncos overall, but you know,
like in week one,
Seahawks secondary, you know, is maybe something that you want to do in week one. I like, if anybody's going to have a good season, I think under Keenum, I'm with you. That's Emmanuel Sanders. So I'm liking him a lot as a DFS play in week one. You know, with Bobby Wagner still there, named team captain again, it's still going to be hard to run against the Seahawks, but you'll be able to throw against them.
Yeah, I remember K.J. Wright also coming back from a knee procedure that he had very, you know, only about a week and a half ago as well. So the Seahawks defense is definitely in a state of transition. All those big names from the Legion of Boom not there. Names up front as well. Michael Bennett over in Philadelphia. So we talked about Earl Thomas, Scott. The other name, I think, to be quite honest, is even bigger, especially from the fantasy perspective. And we're talking about Le'Veon Bell. Now, listen, we knew that this was the situation. He's done this in years past. Last year, I believe, he reported on Labor Day. There was some buzz on social media that he would come out and report on Labor Day again. But then Le'Veon Bell himself refuted that, calling it fake news. So part of me thought that he was just, you know, in essence, trying to continue to prove his point, right? But at some point, and the same thing we just said with Earl Thomas, you know, like the same day with Khalil Mack, you know, the Bears are saying they're going to try to get Khalil Mack up to speed for the opener. You just said Earl Thomas, even if he walks into the door of the facility in the next half hour, would probably not be ready and ready to go for week one. So, like, the sand is ticking away at this point. So, Le'Veon Bell, the question is, Scott, when will he walk into the facility? Is it today? Is it tomorrow? I know you have some thoughts on that as per what Pouncey said. But also, let's say he does come in. Now, what does he have? 2 practices before week one? He's a stud. He's an all-pro talent. We know that. We know he wants to play hard because his money is on the line for next year. So he wants to have his stats look good. But at some point, Scotty, you have to have James Conner kind of like on speed dial here. If you're a team, you have to be picking him up off of waivers. If you're a Bell owner, how are you playing this situation? If you are a Lev Bell owner, many people drafted him number one overall. And now there is a growing chance that even if he is back, he's not going to be ready to go full bore week one against the Cleveland Browns.
Well, last year he didn't have any preseason action at all, and he still walked in the door and started week one. So
and he wasn't as effective weeks one and two.
Yeah, but then he made up for it for the rest of the year. So,
sure.
You know, fantasy,
but I'm talking about this
football,
week. What do you do?
Fantasy football is a full season game. So in my ranks right now, I'm not dropping him out of the number one spot unless he's not there by Wednesday. You know, I'm not panicking about anything until Wednesday. You know, Marquise Pouncey said, I think he's going to walk through that door on Wednesday. I didn't talk to him, but I just know Le'Veon, and I guarantee he's going to be here Wednesday. So right now, look, as a fantasy football community, you know, we're naturally panicky. But if he's not there by Wednesday, that's when I officially start to think, okay, you know, maybe I'm starting James Conner, or the Steelers are starting James Conner. It's a timeshare or something. You know, he could walk in the door today. He could walk in the door tomorrow. And if he does, I still think he gets a significant chunk of the workload.
Yeah, I guess that's my question, right? Listen, I'm not worried about Le'Veon Bell long term. I'm talking about for owners literally this week, right? Let's say you're an owner and you drafted Le'Veon Bell like number two overall. You have your RB2 later on. Let's say it's, Joe Mixon, right? And then your third running back, Scott. Let's say your third running back is like Dion Lewis, okay? Are you starting Dion Lewis over Le'Veon Bell this week?
Hell yeah. You know, against those Miami linebackers, he's going
to
eat them up.
But that's what I'm saying. That's the decision we're going to have to make. That's the decision owners are going to have to make this year.
For week
this
one. Week.
And here's my thing, Scott. Hold on one second. For this week, I know he might be back and he might be in a Steelers uniform. But there's a lot of things that could compromise just his production just this week. Maybe he's not fully up to speed. Maybe Mike Tomlin, on a little bit of a slap on the wrist, says, listen, we're going to play James Conner for like the first quarter, you know, or something like that as a little disciplinary thing. There's so many things that just make it him not 100% of what he should be, literally just for this week against the Browns. And then when you take 80% of Le'Veon Bell versus your other flex back, whether it's a Dion Lewis or a Jay Ajayi or whoever it is on your team at that level, you really have a legitimate, you know, decision to make. 85% of potentially Le'Veon Bell versus your number three running back.
Yeah, it could be more like 70%, you know, because it could be a timeshare between him and Connor. So you're definitely not treating him as an RB1 for week one, even if he walks in the door today, I think, or tomorrow. I think you maybe look at him as an RB2, and I think it depends on who else you're talking about, because Dion Lewis, I love him against the Dolphins linebackers in week one, but then Jay Ajayi is dealing with a foot injury of his own that he's recently coming back from, so, you know, I'm not that hot on Ajayi for week one. It really depends on what your other options are. But for people who are still drafting in the next 2 days, and there are a lot of them, in fact, I have two drafts tomorrow night, one at 8 and one at 10:30, this is like when I talked about injuries, guys injured in the short term. This creates value. If Le'Veon Bell drops to number 8 or something like that, or number 10 in your draft,
I'll take
that. That creates tremendous value. So that's the positive flip of it.
Okay, fair enough. Let's put you to the wall here on some names here, because it sounds, Scott, like you agree that you really like your flex kind of running back versus Le'Veon Bell. You have legitimate decisions to make, right? So let's say, and you said with Dion Lewis, you would. You said with Jay Ajayi, maybe you wouldn't. Lamar Miller or Le'Veon Bell this week?
Who's Lamar Miller facing?
Houston is playing New England this week.
Houston's playing New England. I think that could be a high-scoring game, but I just can't bring myself to use Le'Veon Bell over the likes of a Lamar Miller, because that's going to be a tremendous, tremendous game. But I don't trust Lamar Miller. I'd rather take my chances with a part-time Le'Veon Bell.
Okay, so you would have Le'Veon Bell over Lamar Miller. Le'Veon Bell or Kerryon Johnson?
All right, I need the matchups here. The
Kerryon Johnson's playing the Jets Monday night.
Kerryon Johnson's going to already be mixed in a committee, so I'll take Bell.
Okay. Kerryon Johnson, you said you like attacking the Miami linebackers and you take Dion Lewis. Would you take Derrick Henry?
Yes. I think better shot in the end zone than Bell.
And last one, in the same game that Le'Veon Bell will be playing in, would you take Carlos Hyde? Again,
Carlos Hyde, yeah. That's a good one, because the Steelers linebackers without Shazier are going to be very vulnerable. I actually would take Hyde over Bell.
you would play Hyde this week over Le'Veon Bell, given the fact that
No, I hear you,
but remember the consideration. And this is not a we're talking about this week, okay? This is like if you have Le'Veon Bell on your roster, we're talking about the people who you may have as your RB3, your flex guy, who is the legitimate decision to make between Le'Veon Bell, a less than 100%, less than 100% up to speed Le'Veon Bell with these backs. You know, we're talking about the Hydes, the Ajayis, the Kerryon Johnsons, the Ingrams, the Millers. What about Beast Mode? Last one. Beast Mode against the Rams, against a tough Rams front, which may or may not have Aaron Donald on it.
No, even if they don't have Aaron Donald, they still got Sue and they got some other great talent along that front line. Which makes it really interesting about like whether you drop Bell for the number one pick or not based on 1 week is I think the rest of the season is going to be so huge that I still might want him over those top other three elite running backs. He's going to be pissed off playing for that money. And, you know, we saw it last year, you know, that he got off to a slow start and he more than made up for it last year. So, look, if Le'Veon Bell reports today and I'm drafting tonight, I'm still taking him number one.
All right, fair enough. So there's some frame of reference, though, on how to play Le'Veon Bell and potentially other running backs that you have on your roster this week as Le'Veon rounds himself into shape. I think you're right, though, Scotty. He's playing for a contract. He's going to need the proverbial back of the baseball card to look right at the end of the year. David Johnson also in a similar situation. More news and notes, Scotty, because we have so much to talk about here after the rosters got trimmed to 53 as we get ready for Week one of the NFL season. Remember, if you have a question, hit us up at 844-843-6879. Scotty, it looks like the Buffalo Bills are going to go ahead and start Nate Peterman at quarterback. They play the Baltimore Ravens. I know a lot of people are taking the Ravens as their DFS defense because Peterman did, in fact, remember, if you remember the last time he started, I believe he threw five picks against the Chargers in only the first half of action. I believe, Scotty, they're doing this to protect Josh Allen. We talked about this with the offensive line. We talked about this in terms of guys like Patrick Ramsey and Derek Carr, who got skittish in the pocket after getting crushed so much early in their career. And it looks to me like they are, in essence, protecting Josh Allen, letting Peterman take the bumps and bruises. They then, of course, also trade AJ McCarron away to Oakland. Any viability to Peterman in two quarterback leagues? How do you think the Buffalo quarterback situation plays out over the first month or two of the season?
Yeah, I don't know if I could do it and have more as a reserve in a two quarterback league. Peterman had a really good preseason last year and really impressed the brass.
Right.
You know, they're still keeping him around. He had a pretty good preseason this year. I don't think he's as bad as his five interception game, but that was against a really, really good Chargers defense last year, if I remember correctly. And, you know, this is a tough schedule. They're throwing Peterman to the Lions again, so I can't blame anybody for starting Baltimore this week. But if this game turns out to be a blowout, maybe you see a little bit of Calvin Benjamin and catch up padding his numbers.
Yeah, interesting. So there's definitely the potential for some garbage time there as well. LeSean McCoy also on this team, just to note, will in fact be eligible. He is not on any kind of reserve list from the NFL, anything like that. It does look like Martavis Bryant is facing an indefinite suspension, but he does not even have a team to worry about. It looks like McCoy is fine, but there's no update on guys like Robbie Anderson, right? I mean, Robbie Anderson has this cloud NFL still investigating, so we'll keep an eye out on that. Hey, Scotty, you know what I think is hysterical? I heard this from another show. You know how we were doing like the over-unders and stuff like that? The Buffalo season win total, talking about Nate Peterman and Josh Allen and stuff. Scotty, the Buffalo season win total is at 6. As of last Wednesday, you know how many bets were on mybookie.ag over 6? Zero. 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 No, literally, Scott. I listened to another show where they have the analytics for my bookie, and there have been zero bets placed on the over. And you would ask, wait a second, what does that mean? Maybe shouldn't they just then move the line down to 5.5 or 5 to try and get money? Well, they're starting to do that. Right now, the under on the Buffalo Bills is at -190, Scott, and the over is at +170. So before they make that jump to go on down to 5.5 or 5 or something lower for the season win total, they adjust it with the juice. And right now it is plus 170 to bet the over for the Bills at 6. There's a lot of juice also on the Colts, on the Bengals, and on the Carolina Panthers, interestingly, as well. I can't convince you, Scotty, to go over for the Bills on the season win total at 6.
I don't think I can do it. It's, you know, that team just looks pretty bad on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, last thing I want to mention to you before we go to break here, Scott, and on the other side of the break, you know, we're going to unveil our team name contest winner. We're going to nail down our official picks for the 2018 season. So get your calculators ready. Start getting ready to go on over to my bookie to place some bets. But anybody else noticeable cuts? For you, like the Texans cut Braxton Miller, Jeff Janis in Cleveland. I know Michael Floyd with the Saints, Corey Coleman, who latched on there in Buffalo, got cut right away. Your boy Amari Darbo, who you were talking up early in the summertime, got cut by Seattle, but I believe picked up by the New England Patriots. The Patriots picked up Chad Hansen from the Jets as well. Gillislee got cut from the Pats. He went to visit New Orleans. Jonathan Williams, a little surprising in New Orleans. Your boy Thomas Rawls with the Jets. Any noticeable cuts that surprised you? Maybe even Dan Bailey, a name people know in Dallas as the kicker, won't be there anymore. Any of these cuts surprise you or stick on your radar?
Not really, except for maybe Gillislee. He did end up signing with the Saints and could end up being their goal line, you know, but getting a little bit of goal line work early in the season. Jonathan Williams ended up on the practice squad. But, you know, none of those guys are worth anything. You know, it's like, you know, they all go on the street with Terrence West.
Yeah, absolutely. They all could be just the guy with Terrence West, Orleans Darkwa, and the folks like that that are now on the kind of emergency call list. Before we go to break real quick, I want to tell you, the Survivor Contest is open now. Free entry into a $1 million Survivor Contest over on FantasyFactor.com. Sign up today and play for your chance at $1 million. That's right. Go on over to FantasyFactor.com. All right, Scott, when we come back, we unveil the winner of the team name contest, and we give you our predictions for the NFL. Week one is upon us. We're going to tell you who will still be playing all the way in January. It's the Spitting Statistician and El Rey de Fantasia. Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto Millionaire.
On a holiday Tuesday, right after the Labor Day weekend, and of course, the King's birthday. Happy birthday, Scott. We're celebrating it with a little bit of his favorite group right in the background. Sing it for me, Scotty.
Keep on shouting, you just keep on shouting.
Okay, that's what I'm talking about bright and early right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We got a phone call. We want to get our guy. I know someone wants to wish the King happy birthday. It's our guy Kenny in Philly. Hey, you're on Roto Experts in the Morning. How you doing, Cowboy? Wish the King happy birthday, brother man.
Yes, sir. That's why I call. Hey, King man. Hey man, happy birthday to you, man. It's been wonderful listening to you over the years, and you know I'm an original, so happy birthday, buddy.
Thanks a lot, man. It means a lot coming from you. I appreciate you picking up the phone and doing that. It means a lot to me. It really does.
No problem. On the let me just run through these three because I know you guys are pressed for time, whatever. So on the Packers, I think the Packers are going to come back to the pack. As far as I'm on the football aspect, not necessarily fantasy, but I think they're going to come back to the pack with Chicago and Detroit. I mean that NFC South. I mean North. It's Minnesota, and then it's the Packers, Detroit, and Chicago, as far as I'm concerned. I had a draft, one of my drafts this weekend. I was in the 9-hole, and I ended up going wide receiver, and I had an option between Lamar Miller, Shady, and a running back from Miami, and I went with Shady because you got to have that high upside when you go wide receiver from the later in the
from the nine hole
spot. Yeah, I probably would have went with Drake myself. You know, I think it'd be a huge part of that Miami offense. You know, the beat writers feel like he's going to lead the team in receiving, actually. And even if they're playing from behind, he's going to be very involved. So I probably would have went Drake myself. You know, McCoy, you never know with the suspension, and he's got a lot of mileage on his tires at this point. As far as the Packers go, I agree with you. I think when people look at football sometimes, and I'm not saying anybody here, it's like they rate two things highly based just by the quarterback. The Packers are not going to have a good defense. They can't depend on their running game. Although Rodgers will help it, you know, the receiving core is not what it used to be. I don't think you just look at the quarterback and assume they're going to contend for the division anymore.
Right, I'm going to the Hard Rock tomorrow to place some more NFL bets. Of course, I'm going with my Saints with the over with the 9.5, and I got a couple others written down. I don't have them with me right now. But my biggest prediction was the one I predicted a couple of weeks ago that Scotty said I was I done jumped off a bridge, was that Dez Bryant going to sign with the Patriots. That's going to happen soon. That's my prediction.
We shall see.
All right, that's all I got, fellas. I'll be listening.
Thanks, Kenny, man. And thank it is getting late for him to be on any team. You know, I mean, the job, maybe he's waiting for that injury. Maybe he's waiting for the teams. You know, in week one, someone's going to get hurt or someone's going to realize that they don't have what they think they had, whether that's in like Indianapolis, Miami, Dallas, Buffalo, who knows. But, you know, Kenny has been on this thing for a while. The Patriots, you know, they only went after their cuts, Scott. They had something like only three receivers on their roster even, then went ahead and picked up some guys off the practice squad, you know, this idea of Chad Hansen. I think they got Darbo as well. What do you think about Dez? What do you think? Read the tea leaves for me on Dez here, Scotty.
There really aren't tea leaves. It's some of these situations like Earl Thomas and Dez Bryant just don't have answers. And, you know, if we try to predict what's going to happen, You know, we're coughing in the wind here. I thought the first opportunity was when Jacksonville lost Marquise Lee, that, you know, Dez wanted to play for a contender, and Jacksonville was a contender last year. I don't think anybody knows anything what's going to happen. We're playing wild guessing games with Dez Bryant and Earl Thomas.
All right, fair enough. Hey, Scotty, before we get out of here, we got a couple things to do. I want to touch on some waivers because waivers are running before week one in leagues that drafted, say, a little bit a while ago. And then I want to start our official predictions, okay? Maybe we'll get through our division, official division winners today. We'll look at the lines. We'll look at some values. We'll make our official predictions and keep that going throughout the week before the first kickoff. But I do want to start on waivers. Listen, Scotty, if you've drafted, you know, let's say you drafted in the middle of August. Let's say you drafted in the first weekend of August. There's a lot of things that have happened, and a lot of formats put them on waivers. So I want to see how much of your budget or how you would prioritize some of these guys. Scott, I look at the running backs, and we're talking about guys at this point like Adrian Peterson is probably new in the player universe and available on waivers. Alfred Morris, who we've talked about. You know, there's buzz around, say, like Jordan Wilkins now being the starter if Mac can't go in Indianapolis. Of course, there's James Conner we talked about if Lev Bell doesn't come into the building or at least is not up to snuff for week one. Of those four guys, or maybe give me someone off the beaten path that I did not consider, but out of Adrian Peterson, Alf Morris, James Conner, Jordan Wilkins, how are you prioritizing these running backs who may be on your waiver wire ahead of week one?
I think in a lot of competitive leagues, like a lot of our listeners listen to, these guys are not, they're just not there because, you know, running back is such a precious position. I think you're going to see a lot more attractive wide receivers on free agency. There's like,
no, but Scott, if you drafted three or four weeks ago, these people are there. That's the point.
They're not on the free agent in any of my leagues. And
Scott, I'm talking about drafts that happened a month ago before Adrian Peterson or Alfred Morris.
Right, and if people drafted a month ago, they've likely had a waiver run or two.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is the waiver run.
No, there's a lot of leagues where they drafted a month ago and they've already had a waiver run. So in a lot of let me finish here. It's in a lot of leagues, these guys are just not available in a lot of competitive leagues. But then you talk about like mainstream leagues like on Yahoo and NFL.com. You know, these guys are available. So I think Alfred Morris would be first. I think he's got the clearest path, you know, to getting a lot of carries. And I still think he doesn't have enough mileage on him to where he's like an Adrian Peterson, who's like way, you know, way over the hill. Jordan Wilkins has an opportunity, but I don't know how much he can seize it. But I would put Wilkins second. Then I probably put Peterson third. And then there was one more that you mentioned, too.
I mentioned Connor because of the, you know, any uncertainty around Lev Bell.
Yeah, I saw
Connor. But maybe there's other people you're thinking of, too.
I saw Connor drafted in a lot of leagues, actually. So I think he's probably less out there than some of those other three. And, like, when you're talking, like, you know, NFL.com, Yahoo, stuff like that. And, like, a CBSSports.com league or Fantrax league where people are paying for that and they're not free leagues, you know, these guys might not be available. So it all really depends on your league. You know, I think you have to get ahead of the curve in a lot of competitive leagues, like I did last week. And you look at somebody who's maybe banged up right now, and Jay Ajayi already has a foot injury. So Corey Clement is a free agent in a lot of leagues, and that's a name I think you have to consider.
Okay, there you go. Corey Clement, a great look, but it sounds like of these guys who are, you know, kind of out there in the news more, at least, Alfred Morris would be where you go. Alfred Morris, greater than sign, Adrian Peterson, says the King, Scott Engel. At the wide receiver position, Scott, you know, maybe, and again, you know, we're talking about guys that may be available here. What about a guy like, say, there's been a lot of buzz around Geronimo Allison. There's been a lot of buzz of who are these Jacksonville wide receivers that may take a step forward, whether it's Moncrief or Dee Dee or otherwise. John Ross getting some buzz in Cincinnati. What wide receivers might you be interested in an initial waiver run?
Yeah, like if Allison
say that five times fast, Scotty. In an initial waiver run.
There you go. But look, if Allison somehow wasn't drafted, you know, I absolutely love him. In more competitive leagues, I think, you know, the Seahawks, Jerron Brown is definitely going to be a big sleeper. I think Mac Hollins is a name to keep an eye on. I had to cut him in my dynasty
league. Didn't practice, though, this week.
Didn't want to do it, but I think if he's back by week two, he's making a dent in that Eagles passing game.
Okay, fair enough. And at tight end, any tight ends rate for you? You know, Antonio Gates we talked about just coming back. Tyler Eifert, at least at this point, is still healthy. Any tight ends that you're considering from the waiver wire, Scotty?
Yeah, Austin Hooper for sure. I think he's underrated.
Yeah, I know you like him.
He's going to have a breakout year. And I think Vernon Davis, because you know Jordan Reed could never stay healthy. I think he's a stash.
Now, that's what I was asking. He's a stash. So you try and get ahead of the curve anticipating the Jordan Reed injury?
Yes.
So would you do a similar thing with Tyler Croft?
We all feel like we know what's
going to
happen.
Do you do a similar thing with Tyler Croft in Cincinnati?
Yeah, that's a good call. Yeah.
You would? Because, like, I mean, if you're on to try to anticipate the injuries, right, Eifert is the same as Jordan Reed, if not even more of a
risk. You know
risk,
what I'm
right?
also interested in? If you want to go super deep, you know, with the injury to the other rookie tight end, Mark Andrews of the Ravens might be interesting, too.
Interesting. Yes, Hayden Hurst will be out for, at this point, probably another 2 weeks, they said. They said 3 to 4 weeks originally, but that was about a week and a half ago. So, yeah, now you have Hayden Hurst is out, so you have Mark Andrews, the other rookie tight end that the Ravens drafted out of Oklahoma. All right, Scotty, check this out. I'm looking at our poll right now. And it is ending right now. Great job by our guy, the Manimal, Chris Bavona. Down there in the fantasy pit of misery. Dilly dilly to him. He sent off the poll so that it ends right now. And Scotty, I mean, we had such a close matchup. In fourth place of our contest, Scott, with 23% of the vote, was Turn Your Head and Goff. We had a tie, Scott, for second place. A tie for second place. And guess what, Scott? It was your number one overall pick and my number one overall pick. They tied with exactly the same 25% of the vote, that being Carry On My Wayward Son and For Netflix and Chill. And the winner, Scott, the winner of our contest, of the best fantasy football team name for Roto Experts in the Morning. Give it up to our guy, Strong Style Ninja, with 27% of the vote. Jimmy G Spot is our winner, playing off obviously the you know, the dating history of Jimmy G moving over from Massachusetts to California. Jimmy GQ, Jimmy G Spot. Congratulations to Strong Style Ninja. We're gonna get his information, and Scott, you're gonna help set his lineup 1 week during the season, right?
Yes, and congratulations. This was a lot of fun.
Okay, congratulations. It was a lot of fun. Scotty, as we move along, though, here on Roto Experts in the Morning, we're going to continue to put the fun in functional sports radio. All right, we're going to, you know, we're going to have games every week. We're going to continue to, you know, keep it light, keep it fun, as we also give you everything you need to win your leagues and win that cash. Tomorrow, Scott, we're going to turn our attention a little bit to the week one lines, you know, over there's already lines out there. I'm telling you right now, with this news of Nick Foles under center for the Eagles, with this news of Jay Ajayi, like you said, already with that banged up foot, with this news of number one receiver Alshon Jeffrey already out, and in my opinion, with the news of Matt Ryan looking good and bouncing back in the second season in the Steve Sarkisian offense, I kind of like the road team already in that season opener. I know, Scotty, that the championship team hanging the banner has all their enthusiasm, but they're without their quarterback, their running back, and their number one wideout, and that line has moved, Scott. I remember I was talking about how I was thinking about the Falcons last week to you, and they were +3.5. They are now +2.5, which means the money is coming in on Atlanta. I like them better at 3.5, but I still might like them outright. What do you think about that? Get some points with the Falcons in Philly, who's banged up already at the start of the season.
That's tough, you know, because the game is in Philadelphia.
Sure
Nick
is.
Foles, we know, is can turn around and look good at any time.
And he can look bad at any tough. Time. He's looked bad this preseason.
This is tough, but I'm going to go with the Eagles at home still.
You like the Eagles giving the points. That line definitely has moved in favor of Atlanta. This started at 4. It is now down to 2.5, which means the money is coming in on the Dirty Birds. We'll keep an eye out on that. We'll keep an eye out on some of the picks that we will be making, Scotty. We're going to pick 3 games against the spread every week. We'll make our survivor pick every week, and we'll, you know, we'll kind of track it along the season. We'll see how we do. You know, you and I also differ on the AFC South. We obviously differ on some of these Falcons receivers as well. So we'll talk about that after the season opener. Hey, Scott, one last thing I wanted to ask you. Interesting question. You know how people say to wait on quarterback all the time, right, in these drafts? I had a guy ask me a question about his way to completely wait on quarterback, not even spend a draft pick on it at all, and piece together what he said would be top, you know, potentially top 15, top 20 quarterback play the entire season. Now, the question is this, Scott. What do you think about going with 2 quarterbacks that you can pick up off waivers right now that are not being drafted, and the 2 are Tyrod, and then back that up with Jameis Winston. So by the time Baker Mayfield is on the field, you know, later on in the season, Winston is back from suspension and hopefully still starting for Tampa Bay. What do you think about piecing it together without even having to spend a draft pick pairing Tyrod with Jameis? I thought it was interesting.
I did something similar in my auction on Saturday. I only spent $11 on my quarterbacks. I got Tyrod for 7, Darnold for 3, and Dalton for $1. And I'm comfortable. It's a 2-quarterback league, and I'm comfortable going in with 2 of those guys. I wouldn't be surprised if Tyrod starts the whole season.
I wouldn't be surprised if Tyrod starts the whole season as well. We got to see if the Browns are in any kind of contention, right? If, however, going into December, you know, they're like 4-8, then I think they turn the keys over to Baker. And they have a late bye also, Scott. I believe the Browns' bye is like week 11, right? So, you know, that could create an opportunity. I think they're going to look and see where they are after 11 weeks of the season. If they are in contention for any kind of wild card berth, I think they let Tyrod play it out. But after seven games, if they're out of contention, if they're 4-7, you know, or something like that, I think then they hand it over to Baker Mayfield to get some experience. But that's why by then, you know, you can pivot to a Jameis, or like you mentioned, to an Andy Dalton, or like you said, to a Sam Darnold, who maybe will have his legs under him already. But I thought it was interesting that you could always pair someone like Terod up with another guy for the second part of the season. But that Cleveland Browns bye in week 12, where they stand after 11 weeks, I think will dictate how long Terod is the starter there in Cleveland. Huh, Scotty?
Yeah, I think so. I think they're going to be in contention to a wild card spot till about week 14 or 15.
So then you might as well keep Terod there in the saddle. You mentioned Andy Dalton as well. You and I are both evolving and thinking that Cincinnati may be better than we previously thought. Do either one of us, Scott or I, have the Cincinnati Bengals in the AFC playoffs? Well, tune in tomorrow and find out. Tomorrow we will go division by division. We'll give you the odds for winning those divisions. We'll give you our picks for those divisions, right? And then we'll give you our AFC and NFC championship game. And we will give you our Super Bowl matchups tomorrow on Roto Experts in the Morning. Scotty, happy birthday to you. Go out and enjoy the rest of your day. And fantasy players, don't draft Jerick McKinnon, all right? We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Happy birthday, Scott. Roto Experts in the Morning, Fantasy Sports Radio Network.